Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Before we get into today's podcast, I want to talk about a great upcoming event that we have. We're really excited about our 2019 National Conference in Orlando, Florida, February 22nd through 24th. It's a great experience. You've heard me talk about it on this podcast before, but today I want to have you listen to Straight Heron, a five-time state champion from South Carolina, talk about his experience with the USA Football National Conference.
This was my second year there, and just like you said, blown away. It was when I got back to Rock Hill, I had some coaches ask me, you know, hey, what did you think about that conference? And I said, man, if you haven't been, you need to go. Just from the speakers to the individual instruction that you could get from other high school coaches to the vendors and the all of the things that were there available, and that's an incredible conference and very, very valuable.
Coach Heron will be one of our speakers this year. I'm excited to have him there. To register, go to usafootball.com/NC19podcast. It's in our show notes as well. Welcome to another episode of the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Today, we're going to take another page out of my notebook, and we're going to focus on adding wrinkles. And this is something that starts with self-scout and really works for all phases of the game. So I have four important tips that I think are important to remember when you're adding a wrinkle in season. Number one, you want to focus on what you do best. So think about the personnel grouping or formations that you're using. What can you do with those to gain an advantage and create a look to run an effective component of your offense, or look at a particular front and adjustment to that to run an effective part of your defense? Now, a lot of coaches like to think of that as window dressing, but as long as you understand maybe some of the adjustments that are going to happen from the offense or the defense, I think you can be ahead of them. And I think it's important to look at it more than just window dressing. It has to become part of what you're doing, and there has to be a process to this. So the next step is, how do you keep it simple? So in adding this, what adjustments do you anticipate from your opponent? It may be best to focus on just one play and any adjustments you'll need to attack to implement this wrinkle. So sometimes you do create an unknown. You might see, for example, how they might line up against some of your common formations when you're looking at video. I always like to start there in coordinating an offense and developing a game plan. What do I know? What can I plan for? What have they consistently been shown to do over the course of the season? So in creating some wrinkles, you have to remember there may be some unknowns, and you need to start to think about those adjustments that you might need to make. Number three, what is the tendency after the first game of using this wrinkle? So you put the wrinkle in, you've developed a tendency in using it. Was the wrinkle effective? If so, what do you need to do to break that tendency and bring some balance to this wrinkle that you've added? So this should be your new addition for the next game. So you're building on that particular wrinkle you added by essentially building on that progression, breaking a tendency, having another answer maybe to some of the things that were done against it. And number four, progress this way in adding to the package. You'll find that you have effectively added a full arsenal of your offensive concepts to the formation or personnel grouping over the course of a few weeks. The added dimension for what your opponent needs to spend time on to defend will be greater than the time you've spent and used to install it. That's the idea. This is all about stealing some time away from them. So for you, if that progression can be easy because it makes sense, it's been part of your teaching progression as you started in August, and adding a formation or varying your personnel grouping helps make that more effective. It's easier for you, but the opponent now has to spend some time to think about how they're going to defend it. So the time you spend in adding these wrinkles will be efficient and effective because you, at no single point in the process, tried to implement everything at once. You progressed in a logical fashion. So think about those things, those four things, in terms of how you're going to add wrinkles over the course of the season.
really dialing in on the offensive side of the ball, I'd like to think about some strategies for movements and shifts. A lot of times I hear coaches talk about this as window dressing. And one of the most common uses of movement is to try to disguise some of your favorite formations by shifting or putting a player in motion into the formation that you prefer to use in order to keep the defense from getting early recognition keys. I think this is a very sound strategy. It's a great use of movement. A shift of strength forces the defense to do three things. They have to recognize, they have to communicate, and they have to adjust. And so from the offensive side, we see that as three more opportunities in which the defense can make a mistake. We're forcing them to do something, and the communication, the recognition, communication, and adjustment are three areas they have to be correct as we start to move. I want to take that discussion of the use of motion a step further and talk about some examples of how it can be used to stress a defense. I'm going to include some videos of this on our show notes page, so if you'd like to see some of these examples of what we're doing, those will be there for you. I want to present something that can enhance your game plan and create some advantages right now while you're in season. So in determining what shifts and motions to use, you need to carefully look over your breakdowns and film analysis to determine where that advantage can be created. There's three areas, I think, that you can look at this. So the first is being able to use the movement or take advantage of personnel, both ours and theirs. Secondly, we want to use the movement to create an extreme shift in strength and create gaps beyond what a normal defensive adjustment allows. And finally, we want to use the movement to create situations where we know the defensive check based on film study and use that information to our advantage. So in analyzing the next opponent, it's always good to watch it several times. After we have those initial breakdowns, I always like to look at the data, but then set it aside and evaluate both strengths and weaknesses of personnel. And we're usually able to identify some key strengths of that defense as well as weaknesses, and then use the data to better understand how we're going to fit that into our game plan and start to look for some advantages, especially in terms of using shifts and motions. So in the first example I'd like to talk about, and again, I'll have this video in our show notes, we want to use a shift followed by a motion to change the strength and force a safety who's normally used to playing deep come up and play support on the run. Likewise, we can use that to do the other thing. We can create a shift in which their best support player is forced to play deep. In doing that, we create an advantage in using run action to get the guy who's used to coming up on the run to flatten out on his deep responsibility and then be able to hit a route behind him. So when you think in terms of a defense, especially if they're a defense that plays and is going to use a free safety and a strong safety, and you start to see that one of those guys is really more of a run support guy, they like to bring him down, they like to force with him. The idea then is to get that guy to have to play deep a little bit more. In not having that responsibility all the time, you know, he's used to reacting on the run. And vice versa, that player who might be used to playing deep a little bit more, but now is put in a position that he has to come up and run support a little bit more, he's going to be put in an uncomfortable situation as well. The second category of movements that we like to use would be an extreme shift in strength and create some more gaps on one side of the formation to be covered. The example that I use is one that created nine gaps. It's an adjustment of three people moving quickly to the other side to create some extra gaps. So the defense is forced to adjust to their normal run fits to defend more gaps. And it does stress a defense, especially when it happens quickly. They're stressed even further when four of those gaps are moved quickly to the other side of the formation. So we begin forcing the defense to adjust their alignment. And sometimes that, in order to do that, they have to kick down to that side to quickly adjust their strength. And again, that's going to require them recognizing. It's going to require communication between the linebackers and safeties and the guys up front. And then it'll actually be the adjustment. Did they make it correctly? Three opportunities to be wrong. So it gives us the opportunity to outflank a defense. And in this example that I'm showing, run a stretch play to the edge. So in this, we go to basically an unbalanced set. And while that tight end may become ineligible, we feel that the stress that's placed on the defense is greater in that quick shift in order to create those extra gaps. One of the most extreme shifts that I've used have been a five-player shift that shifts the strength multiple times throughout the movement, and really it's created some frustration for the defense, something I use both at the high school level and college level. I actually got it from Stan Parrish, a former Michigan OC quarterbacks coach, won a Super Bowl ring with the Tampa Bay Bucks. The time I met him, he was at Ball State University, and he called it his, I think he called it his triple tap shift, or the name for it was bazooka. And in bazooka, we're just going to start and line up in a double tight wing formation from the eye. I've also done this in pistol, and then shift to essentially what is a twins formation on the other side. In the example that I'm going to show, you see that the defense kind of gets confused as to where their run fits are, and we simply run a power play inside and have a linebacker moved out of the way and out of his gap, and we're able to run that gap in a goal line situation and get into the end zone. So, I mean, the kids love it. We always love doing that wherever I've been. They love that idea of just moving so many times. But we started to build off of that and add wrinkles over time. So it might start with, we're going to shift into that. We're going to run that bazooka shift and run our power play. Then the next week, we might add to that a power pass where it looks like we're running power and we get that guy into the flat. Other people know that as Spider 2 Y Banana in John Gruden's terms. And then we've even done that where we've made that whole movement and we just run a quarterback sneak. So different opportunities to do that. Again, looking at that process, going back to those four tips to how can we build this over time, because we get them used to start to see things. It's been on film, etc. The final category of movement is one in which we take advantage of the defensive structure. So a particular opponent that we knew would slant their strength to keep the backside defensive end at home and check for reverse and fake. Unbalanced formations we found would get their safety over and leave little on that side, that short side, for run support, from a secondary run support. So we took that knowledge that we learned in our breakdown and started our attack on the short side. So we went from a balanced set, we shifted the strength over, the flanker came to a wing position, and the defensive end then would come upfield and essentially help us create that big gap for a zone lead play. And in this example, we're able to run it for the touchdown. But it's done through understanding some of the things that were happening in their defense. And we had seen this opponent over time. We knew some of those things that we were doing, and we used that to create an advantage. Early in that game, as I mentioned before, we would just shift to it and create that. And then later as the game goes on, they might say, okay, anytime they shift, do this. But we would just go ahead and then line up quickly and run the play to try to take advantage of, again, being faster and not allowing them to communicate. The whole idea in this, in using movements, is to try to stay a step ahead of the defense. We predict one possible adjustment that leave our quarterback an open gap. So what they would do in that one, we thought if they do this, they're going to shift somebody over to that short side to help take a gap away, but it's going to give us an opportunity up the middle. So in that case, our adjustment was, when you see this, you have an automatic check for a quarterback sneak. And our quarterback probably did it three times over the course of that game, and now the defense is kind of rattled. They had an adjustment to stop us over there. They took the play away, but now they're going here and taking advantage of that. So our use of movement, it's built into a series of answers that we feel could make adjustments on the fly, allow us to stay one step ahead of the defense, and game plan essentially around that one shift or that movement. We're able to give our offense an advantage because we look to find some number advantages, we look to find some personnel advantages, and use those things essentially to keep one step ahead of the defense, and like we like to say, to always have the chalk last. So So one of the challenges really then becomes, how do you do this? How do you implement this? How are you able to teach it to your kids in a way that it doesn't become overwhelming mentally? And for us, it really was some of that one word type of mentality. Bazooka, for example, it's five guys moving. It's a prescribed shift that they would memorize. Again, it was kind of interesting for them. It was fun for them. So they didn't have a hard time doing that. But bazooka then took on meaning that they were going to start in this formation, move five guys in a sequence, and end up in another formation. The other thing I think you could do is to use words that do communicate movement. I think learning cues are always important. So we would have some of those prescribed shifts. We might, for a particular week, say we're going to call this hop two. All right, so we're going to line up in one formation and hop to another formation. Other words like jump, leap, vault, those things used to describe movement would become part of our protocol for how we were going to name particular shifts. And again, thinking about sometimes using that shift early, but later in the game, just getting into that new formation, I think can add some advantages as well. The final thing I recommend in this regard is to anticipate adjustment from the defense. I mentioned in that one example, we anticipated that they might kick weak, which now allowed an extra gap in the middle, which we were attacking. So if you're using a shift that stresses a defense, think ahead. What can they do? What do you expect as potential adjustments? As I mentioned before, film study is important in determining both what movements are to your advantage as well as what they might do to respond. So what is a common check that you see? For example, if you're shifting from, let's say, 2x2 to a 3x1, what is their first or go-to trips check that they're going to use? In those situations, you're probably going to get that main trips check when they start to see something, especially if it's for the first time. So start to work out some of those answers beforehand. Again, it allows you to have the chalk last and think about adding wrinkles in terms of a process. Have a reason why you're going to do everything. Have a plan of attack. Think about where you're going to go next from there. Hope these ideas were helpful for you. Continue to listen to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast throughout the season to hear some more tips in our Smart Coaching Podcast with Dr. Garrity and Dr. Kuklick, our Deliberate Practice with Andy Ryland, where we focus on rethinking drills and being able to put more game-like atmosphere into those drills. We have the Game Plan with Charlie Coyner, where every single week we're going to have a coach come on, somebody from the FBS or NFL, to share some ideas that help them throughout their careers. And finally, we have the Leadership Journey with Brian Kite, which always is a fun episode for me. Some great ideas on how you're going to build your leadership culture and improve yourself as a coach over the course of the season.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.